The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Let me put this in capital letters. If.
Yeah.
If. If. I was in a college program. The college program would be a pipeline to the NFL for the players that had the ability to play in the NFL. It would be a professional program, training, nutrition, scheme, coaching techniques that would transfer to the NFL. It would be an NFL program at a college level and an education that would get the players ready for their career after football.
Can you imagine him coaching college?
No.
Absolutely not. Can you recruiting an 18-year-old?
Listen, you really want to come here? I mean, we don't really want you anyway, but I mean, I guess you could come. We'll figure out if you play.
If you bring your parents and use them as a third party, you're gone. You're off the team. We're direct.
Some scar tissue built up here among these guys.
Maybe Petey Pablo will be one of the people that donates to the NIL. North Carolina! If Bill Belichick becomes their head coach, it's the Spiegel and Holmes Show. That's right. Raise up. Take your shirt off. Spin it around your head like a helicopter.
During the show?
If
oh,
you
you're
want.
Just quoting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you'd like to do that, you're more than welcome to. By the way, keep listening for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Bulls take on, speaking of North Carolina, the Hornets this Friday night at the United Center. You can also head to bulls.com/tickets for great deals on seats for this game. Stay tuned today and listen for this.
You're going to love it.
You're going to love it, you big tight end. Now,
this is a fascinating story, and it fascinates us both. And the backdrop of it for me is it's rare you get a coach who you can honestly agree with just about everybody is the GOAT at what he does. And we've got a guy here in Bill Belichick, after a bad few years in New England, still with this year off and all the media that he's doing, he gets to decide what his next chapter is. And it's probably a final chapter at age 72. He gets to decide, do you want to be Vince Lombardi with the Washington football team post Green Bay? You know,
do you want to go save the Jets?
Right. Where you had opportunities before? Do you want to go back to the Giants where you came up as the defensive coordinator with Parcells? Do you want to, you know, what do you want to do?
Do you want to go coach for Tom Brady in Las Vegas?
Right. And let that guy who owns the team. It's a ton of interesting things. And what's the atmosphere that you want? And we're learning from this. He wants to do it the way that he wants to do it. And maybe that leads to what the place actually has to be so he can do it the way he wants to do it.
The latest reporting has been that Bill Belichick is interested in the job at Carolina and that he has presented them with a plan, a 400-page manual on how all of this stuff is going to work. It is very organized, like from the idea of how training, nutrition, NIL, staffing, all of the things you would expect Bill Belichick to be able to walk in and explain and hand you as a university. Now, the university and him have to come to some consensus on whether or not this is a good fit for the two entities.
It's a 400-page, quote, organizational Bible, unquote, according to Ollie Connolly of The Guardian, who's been tapped into this story, and it's fascinating. All the different things you said. There's also the issue, supposedly about setting up his son, Steven, as the head coach in waiting.
Which is the part that I don't like at all.
I understand completely. But just in terms of the motivation factor, Bill's dad, Steve, who coached at Navy, coached at North Carolina before he coached at Navy. So all of a sudden, there's this sentimental part of Bill that maybe we didn't tap into that is at play here, where he's coaching at it, where he's maybe going to coach at a place where his dad was the coach and where his son could be the coach after him amidst all of this effort for control.
I know that there is some of this in his character from a football standpoint, because he speaks so lovingly about Navy.
There's a romance, right?
Even when he was the head coach of the Patriots, you would find him at Annapolis, you know, walking the sidelines, being there. So that means something. And I would guess that the idea of being in a position to set your son up for life, would also be something that would be, if those of us who could do something like that, it would be awesome to do. I do think that it's probably a little soon for Steve Belichick Jr. or the second to be considered as a head coaching candidate for a Power 5 job.
Totally understandable. But Bill's choices in terms of that romance and the history of it, I think are an interesting facet of this. His dad, for anybody who didn't know, was a legendary figure around the Naval Academy for 50 years. 33 years, he was an assistant football coach and an associate professor in the Department of Physical Education. And his collection of football books that Bill grew up reading has been preserved at the Naval Academy.
You know, that's kind of like if you flip some of the pages on the list of things that I want to do, like that's kind of on my list of things.
Go look at that library of football books.
No, to like teach at one of the academies, to teach at like Navy or West Point or Air Force Academy, because you know they still have broadcasting stuff there.
I would sure.
That would be like ideal for me.
Well, that's interesting. As a man like you, you know, wrestles with your career and also what your your upbringing could lead to as the son of academics.
Yeah.
And Bill is the son of a football academic. And having been the greatest coach of all time in the NFL, now he's talking about wanting to set up a college where he trains people for life in the NFL and trains them for football lives of all kinds.
I don't know if anyone saw the AAC championship this week, the Army one. My God, it was so awesome. Like watching the cadets storm the field after the game was incredible. They have a Heisman candidate at the quarterback position. He was not invited to New York, and he probably should have been, just like Scatterbo should have been invited to the festivities this week in New York. But seeing the cadets and knowing, like seeing them party on Friday night, like seeing them on the field and knowing exactly what Saturday morning is going to be. Knowing that you are going to get up at 6 o'clock tomorrow sure. morning.
And if I can't bounce this quarter on your bed,
yeah.
then we got problems.
It was a very cool experience. I found myself like being immersed in it Friday night and be like, man, that's some dope stuff that they got going on there at Army.
In terms of Bill, like we've been talking about maybe the Bears job, maybe the Jaguars job, some of these other places.
Maybe the Jets job, maybe the Giants job, maybe the Las Vegas job.
But no NFL team is going to give him full-on carte blanche to run the entire organization the way he's trying to run a college organization, if indeed this is what he does. And the colleges in the NIL era now existing as basically a professional league makes it a lot more understandable that he wants to set up something with this level of control at the college level.
The top programs, and not even just the top programs, but the University of Alabama has a general manager.
Yes.
The University of Washington has a general manager. Now where you have to start thinking about how much money your collective has and what that means for what you can offer players as far as NIL goes,
yeah.
you better have a plan. You better walk in with a real plan. For someone who hasn't done this,
uh-huh.
I think it's impressive that he has walked in with this level of preparation to try and get that job.
Talk about using your downtime. Here's my 400-page manifesto.
Yeah.
Right here.
But it also strikes of, I like being in charge of stuff.
100%.
And maybe that is something that at this point in the NFL, the general managers, the pro personnel guys, the people that are in charge of football operations are like, we got that part settled. We would just, if we want you to be a part of this,
sure.
We want you to be the coach of the team.
Absolutely. But it's like, I was explaining to my buddies, my Boston boys that I went to school with, who are a huge Belichick guys and Patriots guys, and they're like, well, Bill would revolutionize college football. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. College football has already been revolutionized.
Correct.
There are multiple schools who are nailing this. Dan Lanning at Oregon and everything they have going on, even though he keeps losing big games, Ryan Day at Ohio State.
Sark at Texas.
Sark at Texas. Kirby Smart at Georgia. Like there are places where they have mastered this. They know how to recruit guys and then recruit them again so they stay out of the transfer portal.
The only person who doesn't want to do that, and he still found his team into the CFP, is Dabo. Dabo's the only one that doesn't want to do all of this stuff, but right now his team is good enough,
sure,
that they were able to win that conference and now find themselves with an opportunity to win the national championship.
Well, and the other guy who didn't want to do it is Nick Saban. Who quit?
You bounced.
He quit because he didn't want to do it. How many conversations have Nick and Belichick had in the formulation of this 400-page manifesto?
I'm sure that he played a major role because those guys are super tight.
That's the thing. And so now North Carolina seems to be it all makes so much more sense now to me as we think about it, the romance angle with his dad and his son and all that. But also, North Carolina is the right kind of school. It's a Power 5 school, so it's at the top level. But they need something. They need something. If they really want to compete with the kind of programs that we just talked about, they need something like this.
I don't want to sell Mac Brown short.
They did.
Because what he did there to re-legitimize UNC football was pretty incredible. So I don't want to, like, this to me is not... pick a school in the ACC. This is not Boston College. Like, it doesn't have to. The resurrection isn't that far away. Like, they're a competitive program at North Carolina. They're just not a top program.
Okay. Yeah, so from Bill's perspective, maybe that's why he wants it so much. Because it has to be something in that happy medium, in that sweet spot, in terms of a place that will be like, you know what? Why, yes, Bill. Let's cut and paste your manifesto. We'll go over it for editing purposes, but we will cut and paste that. And when you come to them and you say, my defensive coordinator, his name is Matt Patricia, they will say yes.
Have you seen Matt Patricia?
No.
Gain weight? He has lost a ton of weight.
Good for him.
And he smiles now.
Ooh. Is it an odd
thing to see.
How's that posture?
We got to make sure. Well,
how about the pencils?
Don't you worry. The kids in North Carolina are going to get their posture right. Coach is going to make sure of that.
Where's Josh?
Disrespectful.
Where's Josh McDaniels right now?
Well,
I think.
Isn't it his brother? Like, wasn't part of the thing that Bill was going to hire McDaniels' brother?
Oh, God.
I think as an offensive coordinator for that.
That's the thing, man. You could do it, and it's funny.
Just kind of sit up and just have a little respect for the process.
He's doing media now.
Matt Patricia is?
Josh McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels is.
Well, Matt Patricia has been out in these streets. He's been doing a couple of interviews. I think he did one of the NFL Network, and maybe it was Good Morning Football.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you wouldn't know it was him.
Well, so Bill's going to do all of that. And remember, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when Bill Parcells took any job, Keith Byers and Pepper Johnson were not far behind.
You need your lieutenants to come with you to set an edge.
Right. It's like these are my guys.
Yeah.
They're going to be players. Keith Byers is the backup tailback and occasional fullback.
It's like you with Tanny and Shane. Whatever show you're doing, those guys have got to be a part of it.
Hit and Run's been very lonely without you guys. You know? Congrats on adding a sixth day. Congrats to both of you. But like, and then Keith Byers and Pepper Johnson couldn't play anymore and they became coaches. It's like, it's just what you do. You bring your guys. So Bill's going to bring his guys. It's funny because the texter said, I just want to see how Bill does without a Tom Brady-type generational talent. That line right there is part of why no NFL team would come close to giving him this kind of control.
They saw the last few years of what the Patriots looked like and the choices that he made in the draft, where he wasn't getting quality wide receivers, that they thought that Mac Jones was good at Pro Bowl. And as someone who watched every snap of Mac Jones's career...
You could have told people that was not the case?
I did. Danny and I bonded over that. I was like, this guy's bad, Danny. He's not good at all. And he's like, yeah, I can see it. Yeah, because he's not. He had some generational talent on offense that he was able to distribute the ball fairly well to. And that got him drafted in the top 15.
The other reason that no NFL team is going to give him this kind of control is because take a look at the first round draft picks.
That's what I'm saying.
In the history. But go back as far as you want. I mean, after Chandler Jones in 2012, here are the first round picks. Dominique Easley at defensive tackle, Malcolm Brown at defensive tackle, Isaiah Wynn, the tackle. Is he still there? One guy who might still be there. N'Keal Harry, woof, at wide receiver.
He made a great catch on the sideline one time for the Bears.
That one time. Cole Strange, the offensive lineman.
That feels like a made-up name.
I know. And then Christian Gonzalez, who seems to be a player in 2023. But a lot of bad draft picks for Bill Belichick.
Here's a question. Let's play this out a little bit. Let's say that you go ahead, you're North Carolina, you say, what do we have to lose? We're a bowl-eligible team. Mac Brown did the best that he could in his second stint there in Chapel Hill. They went to some bowl games, but they're not taking that next step, which you would imagine with a coach that's at the end of their career. Hint, hint. So you hire Bill Belichick with the caveat that his son's going to take over in a little bit.
Yeah.
And then Belichick himself sucks in the first 2 or 3 years of this project that you're doing, then what do you do?
Well, he won't. You've seen his ability to recruit college kids. Look at his girlfriend.
That's another interesting part.
He's going to recruit
this.
A hell of a class.
That deserved a rim shot.
That was well executed. He's got to recruit again, though, with the transfer portal. What if she steps into the transfer portal once she gets down there on campus?
She also has to move on to Steve when he's gone. She's included in that. So when Bill's gone,
she's too young
she
for
steps
Steve.
In as Steve.
She's too young for Steve, I think.
She's younger than Steve.
And she's a lot. She's like a decade younger than Steve.
I mean, if I'm her, I might have some issues with all of this.
I don't know. I mean, you gotta
temptation.
Try. Well, there's temptations everywhere for Bill.
There is, but
you go on the McAfee show. There's probably temptation in that green room. I would think
it's not isolated in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Mm. Anybody else want to take a stab at this one? Tammy?
I was just going to say, like, when you're taking a man in his 70s, like, I'm sure there's things that you, like, you know, have to become accustomed to. And I think you won't draw the line, I'm not moving to North Carolina. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I'll say.
You're probably right.
I don't know.
Especially because it'll probably be taken care of for her.
Well, actually, I mean, it's a pretty nice place, though, right?
It's a gorgeous, beautiful.
Well, that's the thing.
Chapel Hill is, and it's a wonderful university.
First time you heard this, didn't you think this was just getting his name out there to signal to NFL clubs like that he's got options?
I thought it was more real than most.
Well,
yes, there's a component of that for sure.
Let's add, so we've got the romance of the father and maybe the son. You've got the sweet spot in terms of what Carolina's attempts are. You've got the beauty of the place, the undeniable beauty of the place.
You've got complete control.
You've got complete and utter control. You also have the SEC with another expansion theoretically upcoming, and UNC's name has been mentioned on that possible list for SEC expansion.
Domination.
You know, there's a lot. There's a lot there, man.
I don't know if he would ever see the expansion, but I'm guessing. I mean, I think
maybe Steve will.
But North Carolina on its own is like they don't need Belichick there to put it over the top. North Carolina alone, because of its history of incredible athletics and the academics, which would, you know, raise things up in the SEC.
Yeah,
it is all, and because of its footprint. there's so many SEC fans in that area to begin with that I don't think they need Bill to push it over the top. I think they're always going to be on Greg Sankey's list.
I saw that Julius Peppers, the former North Carolina great, former Bears great, believes that Steve Wilks ought to get the North Carolina job.
Steve Wilks is a coach that I think has not been given a fair chance at whatever job that he's had, whether it was Arizona or whether it was the Carolina Panthers. And that run that his Carolina Panthers went on as an interim, what did he win, 6 games as an interim? And they showed him the door. I think that that guy is an excellent coach. And he has been one of those coaches that have been absolutely screwed because he's had to clean up a couple of messes and then did not get credit for, which is what I'm afraid is going to happen to Thomas Brown.
I haven't heard this one from the texter, Chapel Bill. You know,
it's just like the year that Nick Saban came to Tuscaloosa, 2000 and Saban. There you go.
That's what they said.
That's what they say. Actually, they say 2000 and Saban.
Oh, okay.
That's what they say.
Simpsons. More on them later.
Roll Tide. We might have to play that for the Simpsons broadcast.
Oh, yeah. It felt like that.
There's a little bit of that.
Definitely felt like that.
We mentioned this at the top of the show, but if you're just joining us, first of all, thank you. Secondly, we are going to have a baseball hour. A baseball hour that's going to start at 3:40.
Oh, that's nice.
A baseball hour. That's what we're going to do.
There's all kinds of stuff on the local teams from the national perspective. John Morosi is going to join us with the very latest on free agent and trade conversations. We've got Hall of Fame stuff to discuss as well.
But next up, we're going to allow someone to continue to throw stuff at the wall and see if it sticks. That's next here on The Score.
I mentioned two possibilities, Kyle Shanahan and John Harbaugh, as guys that maybe the Bears would want to explore because it feels like both guys are in a spot where maybe they would benefit from a fresh start. Now, for the Ravens, it depends on how the rest of this season goes. But Harbaugh at times, kind of his name bubbles up as maybe it's time. He's been there a long time. And Shanahan, I said this after they lost the Super Bowl to the Chiefs this past year. I feel like he is on the Andy Reid path where he's never going to reach his full potential unless he goes to a new team.
Florio's out of his damn mind. Come on, man. No way. Kyle's going nowhere, so get that out of your heads.
Here's the feedback I got. I can't tell you who the coach is, but after I posted at PFT that the Bears should call the 49ers about Kyle Shanahan, the Ravens about John Harbaugh, the Dolphins about Mike McDaniel, because it just feels like in each of those circumstances, maybe you get lucky. Maybe you throw the hook and the sinker into a spot in the water where you get a bite. I heard from another coach who said, why didn't you mention me?
Mike Florio.
God.
Out here stirring it up. Shout out to Bob Marley. Even our guy, your old compatriot, Mr. Willard.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, no.
Yeah, no.
Fam.
No, he said, get your hands off of our Kyle.
That's not a thing. That's not a thing that's going on.
No. Well, Florio, he likes to put stuff out there.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of phrases for that kind of thing. Like, what'd you say? Throwing something at the wall.
And seeing what sticks.
Yeah. I heard it once from a friend who had used to be in advertising. He said, you know, let me run this up the flagpole.
Yeah.
You know, there's that one. I heard another one like, let me put this out on the front porch and see if the cat licks it up. I actually heard that in conversation. Like, this is...
You did?
Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute. Slow down, man. Slow down. We were talking about something with a band, like how to promote the band. He's like, let me throw this out on the front porch and see if the cat licks it up. And I'm like, stop
yeah,
right there.
You
like,
should have told that person to stop.
I did.
Stop.
I told him to stop. I was like, you don't need to do that. You're trying too hard.
You're trying so hard.
But please text in the other euphemisms for this kind of thing, because I love throwing it on the front porch to see if the cat licks it up.
The thing that's so interesting about Florio's career arc is that when Pro Football Talk started, it was a lot of that.
Oh, it's just a gossip site. Dude, like, sitting in his law office, dreaming of being an NFL reporter and turning himself into one.
And now he is an insider. There are still people that keep him at arm's length. But he has been legitimized, and it's an incredible testament of what they ended up building over there at PFT. Like, it really is. Like, well, what it was and what it's become is incredible. But I also think that Florio is on stations around the country every single day.
And always has been. I brought
it's definitely grown the brand.
Absolutely. I brought him to the Score when I started with Mac in 2009. I said, hey man, we've been using this guy on Sporting News, Mike Florio. He's great. And so we started doing him Wednesday at 10 because Florio had become a thing. Do you remember the Jets Hard Knocks with Rex Ryan and Mike Tannenbaum? Mike Tannenbaum was sitting at his desk reading Pro Football Talk.
Yep.
And that was like, oh my God, what is he? So he's penetrated the league. Look at this.
Well, it's smart too because they're an aggregation site and they use a lot of stuff. I know that there are plenty of people in print that bristle at the idea of their ideas being whittled down to 600 words and a link, but at least there's the acknowledgement and the link that allows people to read further on what a Jason Leisure or Brad Biggs writes about what's going on with Chicago, for example.
They're not like these Twitter aggregators that just take stuff and just throw it out there.
I saw some of our stuff aggregated without attribution last week.
You did?
Yeah.
Jalen or what?
Yeah, and I was like, I did that interview, and my name is not on it, and Speaks' name is not on it. And how dare you leave out the broadcaster of the year?
Oh, God. Thank you very much.
We are gonna celebrate that, right? On the show today?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to. It's very cool.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, the Pitch and Hit Club named me the Harry Caray Sportscaster of the Year, which is a lovely, lovely thing. Very nice. There's a banquet on January 19th. Ooh. I look forward to that. The banquet, baby. Been a while since I've been to a banquet.
You have to wear a tux?
I don't think I have to wear a tux, but I have to make a speech of some kind.
Yo.
And AJ Przinski gets honored the same time. And Gene Honda. I'm right there. I might have to pick up smoking again so I can have a puff with Gene Honda out front of the Pitch and Hit Club banquet. You know? It's pretty neat.
This texter brought up something really interesting. I don't know if you guys have paid any attention to it. Thanks, 815 texter. You rarely hear anyone say that. But is PFT kind of like GoDaddy? Yeah. Have you seen GoDaddy commercials lately? It's not what it was.
Really? What are they doing?
Hey, we are here to help you with your business. This is what we're here for. It's like office stuff. It's very different from what it was before.
Really? Mm-hmm. No, I had no idea.
Exactly.
Of that.
Now it's
But PFT, like, to your point about Florio, back to Florio and PFT, it's now a mix of everything.
Correct.
It is now a mix of legit stuff that he pulls from somewhere, well-sourced reporting, because he will break a story.
Yes, but and he has a cadre of great writers, like our guy Michael David Smith, who is outstanding at his job.
Greg Rosenthal started there and is now at NFL.com and has been for quite a while. So, yeah, it's a mix of everything, but he's not above just throwing something up against the wall.
Yes, and you can imagine when that meets hard-scrabbled, old-school, still-carries-a-notebook Mike Mulligan. When those two things meet, and Mully's BS detector is strong when it comes to what's happening in the NFL.
But he's also, like the rest of us, not afraid to put Mike Florio on every week and enjoy some of this stuff. It's an interesting spot to be.
So some of that happened today.
Michael, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you today?
Well, I'm a little bummed because your guy Kyle Shanahan declined the Bears job, apparently. And you got me all worked up. I had him buying his family home where his dad grew up. I mean, I just thought it'd be a great story. But, there's still John Harbaugh. And you said someone else called you, right? So the Bears job is coveted.
What happened was I wrote something about the take. And the take wasn't. And I was never starting a rumor that the Bears were going to trade for Kyle Shanahan. My point was, why do we get so caught up in the three buckets that traditionally produce coaches? Coordinator who's never coached before, fired former head coach, and college coach. Why not include guy currently coaching another NFL team that we might be able to hire away from that team even if we have to trade for him. And my point was the Bears should be making these calls. I don't know what people are going to say. Make the calls to the spots where you think things might be uncertain now or in the future, and maybe you'll get lucky. That was my point. And the whole thing took on a life of its own because people see what they want to see, hear what they want to hear, or whatever. I got another one for you, though.
Say what they want to say.
I don't know what people are going to say, says guy who relies on clicks and aggregation. Let me throw anything out there and hope it reaches all 32 fan bases.
My moron. God.
And for the record, this thing drove you, Shane, in particular, crazy. Because then you were like, we got to start chasing the Shanahan thing.
Well, it's true. And then you and I both fought that off. And then 2 days later, it got me.
Okay, so, yes, I was hot for the Shanahan thing, but I was also hot for chasing all the coaches.
That's true.
All the possibilities.
That's very true.
That's true. But the Shanahan thing.
But yes, it got me bad.
It got you bad.
My wife divorced me because of Pro Football Talk, but I don't know if it's necessarily related to this, but it got all of us is what I'm saying.
That's Mike Tannenbaum, probably.
I got another one for you, though.
Of course he's got another one. But seriously, that whole answer to Mully right there, that was just 40 seconds of, I'm not saying, I'm just saying. That's what that was. No, you said, and then you can't say, I'm not saying. I hate that kind of passive-aggressive BS, which is exactly how you build a great aggregation.
What's the other thing that he had for us?
He's got another one for us.
I got another one for you, though. You might like this one. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about the coach. But there's been so much talk over the last couple of weeks about whether or not Jerry Jones is going to bring back Mike McCarthy.
No.
That's like saying, hey, this guy coaches football. The Bears are a football team. Maybe he can coach there with anyone.
Hey, I'm sorry that I led you astray with the thing that I said was a rumor, but now I don't say was a rumor, and I won't do that again, except for right now. How about this?
But the irony, though, is like Molly was talking afterwards about how, you know, Mike McCarthy's like a Pittsburgh guy and blue collar. Dad was a cop. He's exactly the type of person that the McCaskies would be like, yes.
Offensive genius. Packers history.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Or they might say, oh, no, Packers. Yuck.
He's got that Packers stank on him.
Oh, yeah, hopefully. Hopefully.
Yeah. He's just not good at coaching football.
I want Kevin O'Connell. Can you imagine if they made that choice 3 years ago instead of Matt Eberflus? Can you imagine?
Yes.
How things might have gone. They brought him in here. I don't even know if he was one of the nine candidates they interviewed at the time.
I'm sure Shane Waldron was.
Yeah.
That's how they do.
I think Ben Johnson is this go-rounds version of Kevin O'Connell, right?
Yes. Yeah, I would say that's probably accurate.
Yeah. It's the dream right there.
All right, stop talking football.
Oh, I thought you'd never say so.
Stop talking football.
Okay.
We have a power hour of baseball talk that is coming the Score listeners' way. That's right. Baseball.
It's the winter meetings. There's a million things going around. The bosses of both teams spoke. There's a new player acquisition from one team to another.
The biggest deal in Major League Baseball history happened. There's a lot for us to discuss. Baseball Power Hour next on the Score.
Michael Kopech missing high to Mike Tauchman. The next pitch. Hit in the air. Deep left center. Back goes Robert. Cubs win the ball game. Mike Tauchman with a game-winning home run. Listen to this crowd.
We promised you that there was going to be baseball conversation from now until 4:40, a solid hour of baseball chatter.
Mike Tauchman is a really good fourth outfielder or fifth outfielder for the White Sox. Maybe he's a starter.
He absolutely is a starter for the White Sox.
He's a very good MLB at bat and a very capable defensive outfielder in all three spots. And he's a badass in terms of his work habits, an absolute grinder. And I think that's a pretty cool signing for Mike Tauchman to stay local and go to the White Sox.
He's a pounder from Palatine.
The pounder from Palatine. Big Score fan, Mike Tauchman, huge Bears guy, will bend your ear about Caleb Williams and the Bears offense as much as any baseball player I've ever been around.
And he'll do it after Christmas, the week after Christmas.
Or on this show?
After New Year's, yeah, he'll be on the show.
All right, good.
JD, I think you nicknamed him the Palatine Pounder.
Yeah, why not?
give Speaks another shot to mend things with him.
Yeah, it was a little.
What was it like playing in Japan?
Oh boy.
Last year, Mike.
Thank you.
I was in Korea last year. I couldn't tell you much about Japan.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
It was pretty cool, though. Oh, no, it's all good. It's
no,
all good.
No, it isn't. That's embarrassing. Good shot by you. I deserve that. My bad. So, yeah.
It's all good. But, yeah. Korea was cool.
That's how you win Broadcaster of the Year, right?
But, I mean, I mentioned your name when I was texting him today, and he's all cool with it, so yeah. I think you guys are fine.
I went back into the clubhouse and apologized to him. We had a great conversation, talked a lot of hitting. He taught me a lot of stuff in conversation. It's all good. So congrats on the Mike Tauchman signing to the White Sox. Bastards.
Yep. Super exciting.
Like, this is an outstanding move for the White Sox 3 years ago. Like, had they been the team like that,
had they identified
the inefficiencies and, like, a guy that they could bring back to life, like, 3 years ago, like the Cubs did, it would have been great. Yeah. But I do like the edge and the intensity that he brings to a lineup.
Sure.
Like, I've said it over the years as I've watched him, you know, from the other side, like, man, if you could have, you know, 10 guys on your team like that, you'd be in good shape because he doesn't give away at bats, and he's just a hardcore baseball dude.
He's a
man.
Very solid baseball player.
The difference is, Tanny, the White Sox identify inefficiencies, and they say, ooh, I want that inefficiency, and I want that inefficiency.
Oh, they're doing
give
it
me
wrong.
Another inefficiency.
Now, wait a minute. Now, this isn't just an hour of us pounding the White Sox.
Let's not do that. What you could do, if you'd like, and I think you do, you would like, is to react to this from Jed Hoyer on how the Cubs did not choose to pursue Juan Soto. Jed from the winter meetings last night.
I mean, there's nothing that precludes us from being involved in those players. I think we did sort of, you know, organizationally, you know, decided not to pursue that one. Doesn't mean in the future we won't, but like that was one that we didn't.
Thank you. That was great.
So they decided not to pursue that one. The Red Sox, the Mets, the Yankees, all willing to go over $700 million for Juan Soto. The Cubs chose not to.
Every time that Jed talks about this stuff, it gets more and more annoying. Because if you weren't going to pursue him, then who were you going to pursue? Was your pursuit of Shohei Ohtani even real? Like, these players don't come up that often for you to spend and to pursue. And here you are punting on the last two players that have come up with an opportunity to sign guys like this. It's frustrating as all hell because he wears that as some sort of weird badge of honor. And I don't think it's honorable at all. I don't think it's honorable when Jerry Reinsdorf talks about not being in the Shohei Ohtani race. I don't think it's honorable of the Cubs to be like, oh, no, we'll totally go after those types of players. Well, what about the one that was just available? No, we're not going to go after that player, but we don't want that.
Completely understand what you're talking about. Completely get it. Of course. Juan Soto, undeniably a great superstar player
and young,
but they chose not to. We'll have a lot of off season and not stove to get into why that was. I've got a theory that I want to run at you, but we got a lot of stuff here. Craig Counsell did speak last night.
Well, wait, before we go to Counsell,
yeah,
you're Mr. Baseball, and you haven't said a thing about the Juan Soto deal.
It's staggering what teams are willing to do. And what the Mets were willing to do is absolutely staggering, but now it's proof positive that multiple franchises are willing to do this. Every big market team can afford to do this. When you're choosing not to, eventually you're going to have to tell fan bases why you're choosing not to. Because the Cubs choosing not to is a really interesting place to be. And I think there might be a bigger reason. I'm working on it with some sources, trying to figure out if my theory is correct. But what's also compelling about the Soto deal is how the little things matter. Steve Cohen being willing to get in there personally and invite their traveling secretary to Steve Cohen's house and invite Juan Soto to the house to serve Latin food to Juan Soto to personally make it clear, I'm going to cater to you as a human.
Literally
cater to you as a human. For Steve Cohen to catch wind of what the Yankees security staff apparently did to insult Juan Soto and to tell him, make it clear, we will never do that to you. You will have a home for yourself and everybody. To offer him all those kind of personal touches, that's what it takes. Even it's not just throwing your bag of money on the table these days. That's not what it is. You got to show these guys you actually give a crap and you want to get to know them as people. And the Cubs are actually good at that when they're willing to play in those financial waters.
All right, now there's something that you wanted to share of Craig Counsell.
This is the guy to listen to. And when he says this, we should heed what he's saying about what this roster is going to look like on opening day.
I think the bench is a place that we have some uncertainty right now. With the young position players and kind of the guys that finished, you know, on the field kind of mostly every day last year, and then some guys have left. That's certainly a place that I think the team will look different by the end of the year. By the time we get to opening day. And maybe some of those guys aren't in the organization yet.
So he's saying that this team is going to look different by opening day. And there are guys that are not in the organization yet. And
they better, because if they don't, they're going to be stuck being an 83, 84 win team.
That's the dude to listen to on the big picture vision these days.
He's the only hope that I have.
He should be your source of hope. Is that guy, the former front office guy in Milwaukee, who was a flat-out partner with David Stearns for the best years of his Brewers run, and is a flat-out partner, as invited by Jed Hoyer, and now I think with even a little bit more power than he had last offseason, and full knowledge of the organization. I would expect them to deal from their position of strength as the team with the most players in the top 100 prospects in MLB. You will see a very active Cubs offseason in terms of trades, and this roster will look different, like Craig Counsell just told you it will.
The baseball hour is going to continue with us talking with John Morosi, and I think there's a Chicago player that's a bad teammate for this. We'll explain why next on The Score.